This is Dr. Z, Zachary Brooks, and this show is called The People Behind the PhDs. This is Dr. Z, Zachary Brooks, and welcome back to part two of the interview with Dr. Steve Prismas, who studies translanguaging and bilingual education at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas, near Dallas. There's an overlap of about 10 seconds, so we can pick up right where we left off in The People Behind the PhDs.
Working in the hay fields, doing whatever, and then after you submit that application, you wait, you know, about 3 months later, you hear back from the government and they say, you know, we're interested in you. Now you need to fill out this second application about your medical history and your background check, you know, like a legal background check. And then that takes a little while because you have to do all these appointments. You send that in and then you get an interview. I remember I had to drive to Denver, Colorado. My partner and I drove to Denver, Colorado and interviewed at the Peace Corps office there. And then a couple weeks later, maybe a month or two later, we got accepted to a region of the world and a career. So we initially were going to go to Russia to be teacher trainers. And that's all we knew. I think we started our application in September. And it was the following August. We were getting ready to go to Russia. I'd quit my job. We'd sold our cars. We were just living at my in-laws' house. And that was the build-up, the lead-up to the Iraq War. And if you recall, we had a political fallout with Russia. And so this would have been the summer 2002. And Russia kicked Peace Corps out of the country. So, you know, it was just a big change for us. I substitute teached for a half a year until we eventually got placed again with the Peace Corps in the Dominican Republic.
Okay, and that's where you guys went then. You were there for a couple of years, or what happened there?
We were there for 27 months. The first 3 months, you're in the Dominican Republic, and you're living with families and you're training with Peace Corps. You're learning how to do the job you're going to do for the next 2 years. You're working on Spanish and cultural sensitivity and everything. And after 3 months, if you pass your Spanish oral proficiency test, you get sworn in as a Peace Corps volunteer. And then you're told where you're going to be placed for the following 2 years. And we were kind of in the middle of the country, about 2 hours from the Haitian border in a town called Esperanza. And for 2 years, I worked with Dominican teachers on using computers as a teaching tool. So I started really basic with a lot of people, keyboarding, Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and then moved into a co-teaching role and then into a, they taught on their own. I kind of watched from a distance and it was great.
Okay. So after this, you eventually did a master's, or had you finished a master's already?
No, I came back to the United States and within 3 years of moving back to the States, had finished a master's in applied linguistics at the University of Northern Iowa.
Okay.
I was teaching high school at the time, so I would teach all day and then go sit by myself in a room and do this telecommuting, you know, where we could see the professor, they could see us, we press a button and talk and everyone could hear each other, and people from across the state of Iowa were connected. I did that for 2 years at night and on weekends, and then finished my master's.
Wow, so this was that's what it was called, a teledistance or a tele something?
Yeah.
Wow, yep. Okay, very cool. So then after that, you ended up at University of Arizona to do your PhD.
That's right. Yeah, after I finished my, something pretty significant happened in between that. I finished my master's and I continued being a high school teacher. And I applied for a Fulbright. I just had a master's, and there was a new Fulbright program called the Fulbright Distinguished Awards in Teaching. And they only accept about 10 to 15 people a year. And it's a semester long. And I got one. I got one to do research in Mexico. And project, I kind of felt like I could do a PhD and applied and got into the Second Language Acquisition Teaching Program at the University of Arizona.
So before we jump into that period and then eventually translingualism, I'm thinking about a person who later in their life wants to do a PhD. And so at this time, you're around age 30, it sounds like. Certainly you were motivated from your walks in this South Dakota town to explore the world, and some of your trajectory sounds like it's followed just walking around this town and thinking about life. But what about academia? I mean, when did you decide I'm going to do academia, or why academia? Because, you know, these moments are critical moments for certain people, and it's only certain people to decide to do academia or something another difficult adventure, military, other adventures in their life. When did you decide I'm going to do academia? This People Behind the PhDs episode is sponsored by Harp Concepts. Are you an up-and-coming artist with a bright idea? Are you a startup company who needs to prove your concept? Or are you a person who likes to personalize special gifts? Harp Concepts makes high-quality 3D models for a fraction of the price of big-name companies. Learn more at harpconcepts.com. That's harpconcepts.com.
Well, that's a really good question. I always had lofty goals for myself, but I never saw myself as a very intelligent person, someone who could achieve a PhD. I think just coming from where I did, very, very blue-collar family. My dad was a meat packer, so he worked in a plant every day. And just this small town. So I think it was this Fulbright experience that, well, Peace Corps, really, because a lot of, I don't think it's a big secret, a lot of people who do Peace Corps come from affluent families, come from really great educational backgrounds, went to great schools, and of course they do Peace Corps for the right reasons. You know, they want to serve, they want to learn from people in other countries and become better people, but they also do it as kind of stepping stones into really great master's and PhD programs. So I think kind of being around those people for a couple years and, you know, seeing, well, hey, I'm doing just as good as these people. In fact, I'm actually a little bit more creative, you know, and I'm really succeeding here, made me feel like I could do something more like a PhD. But the funny story I have for you is I don't think that feeling of not being good enough ever goes away. I recall pulling a U-Haul trailer to move my family from Iowa to Arizona to start the PhD. So this was the summer of 2012. And what I listened to, because I was driving by myself pulling a trailer, my partner and daughters flew, I listened to a book on CD called Big Words, How to Learn Academic Words, because I was so afraid that I would get to this PhD program and just not be able to hang with people.
Wow.
So I still remember that, some words from that, like cachet, you know? Mm. you will make cash if you develop a cachet, you know, and all of these things. So I don't think those feelings ever go away.
Do you ever share that story with your students, that you didn't feel smart enough to do academics?
I just recently have begun to do that. I've been giving some talks. We do a series of brown bag discussions for graduate students. And I work with a lot of PhD students. I'm on five dissertation committees right now. I'm chairing two of them. And so I'm advising students all the time. And I have begun to share that story that, you know, where I came from, who I was, didn't ever match up to where I'm at now. So at certain points along the way, I had to take risks, you know, and do things that made me a little uncomfortable, but they almost always paid off.
So just so everyone knows, if you wondered about the story that Steve is talking about, it's called imposter syndrome. So every first year PhD student knows this very, very well, probably some master students as well. And it's basically this psychological feeling that the individual doubts their accomplishments or their abilities to, you know, work in a what they consider a very high-end thing. It could be academics, it could be something very hard military, it could be some corporate thing, it could be lots of different things. But what Steve's kind of talking about is the imposter syndrome. So if you are thinking about doing a PhD someday or a higher education degree someday, if you have this feeling of being an imposter, it's very normal and very natural. And evidence number one from that is this really incredible professor now at Texas Christian University who actually feels still the imposter syndrome. So just I want to give people a sense of what Steve's talking about. So Steve, you were, when we last were moving sequentially through this conversation, you were talking about University of Arizona. So tell us about that experience for you and what experiences you had that eventually led you to this translingualism, because that's what your focus is now.
Right. I think that the strength of the program at the University of Arizona is it's very, very interdisciplinary. So,
what's the name of it?
Second Language Acquisition and Teaching. So the interdisciplinary PhD program in SLAT. And I forget how many departments, but I think it's something like 17 or 18 different academic departments across campus SLAT students can take classes in. So, you know, if I look on my transcript, I took classes in anthropology and in linguistics and in modern languages and in the College of Education, and you know, it's kind of all over. And what that was great for me is I've never been short of ideas. You know, when I talk about this imposter syndrome, it's always been, you know, can I tell my ideas in a way that other people will see as professional or academic, or you know, is my writing good enough? Is my, you know, but I have lots of ideas, and I always have, you know, that young boy walking the town, you know, I've got a million ideas. So the PhD program was great because I would hear people in anthropology talk about things.
Thanks for listening to part two of the interview with Dr. Steve Prismas, who studies translanguaging and bilingual education. To continue listening to Dr. Steve Prismas, download parts 2 and 3 at drz.net/download. That's dr-z.net/download. You can also follow me on Facebook at Dr. Z Podcasts and Instagram at drznet. As always, happy deciding. People Behind the PhDs is conceived, written, produced, and edited by Dr. Z, that's me, Zachary Brooks, PhD, in Dr. Z Productions and Podcasts. Learn more at drz.net/about, that's dr-z.net/about.